All right. For those who have ears to hear is our title for today. Dan has been teaching a series out of the Gospel of Mark. And when I was approached about filling in on the 22nd of October, I knew I needed to do something out of the Gospel of Mark. So I did a quick scan of the Gospel of Mark, and I came back to Dan right away and I said, no matter what you do, stay out of chapter 4. Chapter 4 is mine. All right, so we're going to be in Mark chapter 4, beginning in the beginning of the chapter. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. And let's stop for just one moment. Let's take a moment for a word of prayer. Dear Father, in Jesus' name, your word is alive. Your word was taught to us and given to us by your Spirit. Your Spirit is present with us today. Your Spirit is present in our lives. And so, Father, right now, we trust the Holy Spirit to be our teacher. May the Holy Spirit rise up within me to speak as I should speak. But also, Father, may the Holy Spirit rise up within every hearer to give instruction, to give illumination, to challenge, to confirm, and to give us understanding of things that in many ways are beyond understanding. We thank you for your presence and power in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, again, Jesus began to teach by the lake, referring to the Sea of Galilee. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teachings said, and we're going to get to what he said here just in a moment, but I want to land here for a second on this idea that he taught in parables. The word parable comes from a Greek word parabolo. It's a verb that means para, meaning alongside, and balo is the word that means to throw. So parabolo means to throw down besides. The idea is in parables, what Jesus would do is he would take a spiritual truth and throw it down beside a natural truth that his hearers would understand or would know, so that they could grasp a spiritual reality from comparing it to something in the natural. All right? So that's what we mean by parables. But Jesus constantly spoke in parables during his earthly ministry. We want to look a little bit today at why and what's the significance of that to us. So the first thing is understand the audience. Realize this, Jesus is speaking to a large group of people, so large, as a matter of fact, that the only way he could adequately speak to them was to get in a boat and go out onto the lake. Now, I was blessed a number of years ago to be able to travel in the Holy Land and to see where the likely spot where Jesus, for example, taught the Sermon on the Mount. And this is in Galilee, there's steep banks that run down towards the Sea of Galilee, so it's almost like a natural amphitheater. And it could accommodate perhaps 2,000 to 3,000 people, which would have been a huge crowd back in those days. So, but notice this, that there's a sense of audience. We'll have more to say about this as we go, but one of the things that's most critical about understanding the words of Jesus in the Gospels is that Jesus constantly spoke at the level of his audience. You have to recognize who's listening at the moment that Jesus says these particular words. There are certain words that Jesus says when he's talking only to his disciples. There are other words that Jesus said when he's teaching, when he's talking in the temple, for example, to the religious leaders. And other words that he speaks when he's speaking to large, massive crowds. Well, that's what we have here. He's speaking to a very large crowd at this particular point in time. So it's critical that we understand the setting when we look at the words of Jesus. We can actually misunderstand some of the things that he's trying to teach if we fail to recognize the audience that was there at the time. Okay? So this is what he said, Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 3. Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it didn't have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times. Then Jesus said, "Let him who has ears to hear, let him hear." Now let's just sink that in for a second. Let him that has ears to hear, let him hear. I was asked a couple weeks ago, why was it that Jesus sometimes said things in ways that seemed almost confusing? It didn't even seem like he was really fully explaining himself. Well, there's a reason for that. It's because when Jesus, especially when he's speaking to the large crowds, not everybody in the crowd has ears to hear. Some have ears to hear. Some do not have ears to hear. What Jesus is saying here is, if you've got ears to hear, hear. You say, well, that doesn't seem very fair. You'd think he'd want to make it so that everybody understood. Well, there's more to the story. When he was alone, following verses now, when he was alone, starting verse 10, when he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you." Now, remember, he's talking now to the 12. He's talking to the disciples. He's talking to those who have committed to following him. He says, "The secret of the kingdom of God is given to you. But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven." Now, that doesn't sound very nice. Well, but notice the quotes in the "they may be ever seeing but never perceiving." The reason that's in quotes is because Jesus is quoting from the book of Isaiah. In Isaiah 6, 9 and 10, those very words quoted precisely, word for word, "that they may be ever seeing and not perceiving," were quoted right there. If you were to go back and read Isaiah 6, we don't have the time to do that this morning, but I'm going to urge you to do so. In the 6th chapter of Isaiah, it's the story of Isaiah being commissioned as a prophet of God. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and the angel came and touched his lips with a coal so that he could become God's prophet. And he said, 'Okay, here I am. Here I am, God, send me.' And these were the words that came to him, saying, 'Go talk to these people. But I'm sending you to people that aren't going to listen. I'm sending you to people who will be ever hearing but never perceiving, ever listening but not understanding.'" And in that commissioning, he goes on to describe at great length about how his eventual plan is to judge the nation of Israel, and that there will be devastation in the land. You see it again throughout the entire book of Jeremiah, for example, that there's a judgment coming on the people of Israel because they reject the knowledge of God. But at the very end of it, he says, "But a holy seed will be the stump in the land." So the whole point of the ministry of Isaiah was to go to people who wouldn't listen to him and to give the words of God that would ultimately result in our understanding who Jesus was when Jesus came, because Jesus was the holy seed. So when Jesus is talking in parables, he's reflecting back on those prophecies that were about him, that he would become that holy seed, and that there was always going to be this division between those who would hear and receive and those who would hear and fail to receive. Jesus' ministry was that holy seed. And some were going to hear him. Some were going to listen to him and receive that word with joy and experience life transformation, but others would not. The word of God is a dividing point. Hebrews 4:12 talks about how it divides the soul from the spirit. It divides those who are alive from those who die. And so when he talks here about sowing the seed, he's talking about sowing the Word of God. And how you respond to the Word of God is critical. So remember this now. So kind of first theme here, speaking as a teacher, let me challenge you. Remember, when you read the Gospels now, from now on, read it through this lens. When Jesus is speaking, who is there when he speaks? You will not understand his words properly if you're not sensitive to who his audience was at the moment he spoke. Okay? So, be aware of the audience. Now, let's talk about this whole idea about hearing without listening. You know, just let's talk about this. Here's the parable. Here's the throwing it down besides the natural. It's very possible for you to hear things that you don't listen to. When you walk through the mall, starting far too soon every year, you hear Christmas music, right? But you don't listen to it. You hear it, but you don't listen to it. Am I right? Of course. And this is true all the time. And I'm not one of these. This is a challenge for me. I'm a little bit, I think perhaps even a little ADD about this, but a lot of people just like have the TV on all day long, and there's just kind of like a low drone in the background. Some people are totally comfortable with that. That drives me crazy. I don't like that at all. But other people just like that's the way it is. People leave the TV on in the bedroom. They'll leave it on all night long, and they sleep better with it. You know, that's because they're hearing but not listening. People do that all the time, right? Elevator music at the mall. Sometimes your spouse's words. Sometimes your spouse is talking way and you're, Now, I'm the first one to plead guilty to that, and Julie knows it's true. I'm not proud of that, but it's true. You can hear without listening. So, but notice that Jesus began when he said this, the very first word was, listen. It's not enough to hear. You have to listen. Right? But you know, there's another step beyond that. It's one thing to listen, but you can listen in a way where you really hear, and you can listen in a way where you don't. If you're listening where your goal or your objective is to find a point of disagreement, or you're listening just because of out of casual curiosity, you aren't going to really hear. I remember some years ago being exposed to the idea of active listening. Active listening means you have to be able to paraphrase back to someone what they're saying. And you know, it's very possible to listen to somebody but not really hear them. You know that's true as well. That's a little bit more subtle than the other, but it's really true. You can listen to something without hearing it. Now, let me give you an example. Most of you, and I'm up there in years myself, so but I will venture to say most of you are aware of the band U2. And most of you have heard the song many times that they did called I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For. And people have listened to that song and listened to that song and listened to that song. But I still haven't found what I'm looking for. But let me ask you a question. And it goes, I have climbed the highest mountains. I have run through the fields only to be with you. Everybody knows that part. Everybody's listened to that. But have they heard the third verse? The third verse of that song goes, I believe in kingdom come. Then all the colors bleed into one. Yes, I'm still running. You broke the bonds and you loosed the chains, carried the cross of my shame. Oh, my shame, you know I believe it. Did you know that was in there? Some of you did. Most of you did not. Why is that? Because you listened without hearing. The same way you can hear without listening, you can listen without hearing. So when Jesus is talking about let him that has ears to hear, hear, there's more to this than sometimes we recognize. You see, what you need to do, and this is particularly true at the words of Jesus, at the word of God, is you need to hear, but then you need to listen, and then you need to hear. It's when you hear it in here that it changes your life. And so when Jesus said, let him who has ears to hear, let him hear, he's talking about hearing down here. He's talking about where that word brings life change. To hear is simply to hear, experience the auditory sense of the body. We've got ears. To listen, however, is to apply the understanding and the soul to that which is being heard. But then that goes then from the body to the soul. But then to hear is what we're talking about, is to allow what is being understood by the mind to settle into the spirit, to settle into the heart, because that's where life transformation takes place. From the soul to the spirit. So why is Jesus talking about this? All right, now when he's explaining this parable to the disciples, we can begin to see what it is he's talking about. Jesus said to them, don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? Why is that? Because this is the secret to the parables. The sower sowing the word is the secret to the parables. In other words, if you hear it and listen to it and hear it, all of a sudden it makes sense. But if you don't apply yourself to it and you don't allow it to speak to your heart, it won't make sense. John Lennon once said, and of course I was a Beatle fan from the beginning, John Lennon once said when he was being talked about, when they were talking about spiritual things, he said Jesus was all right, but his disciples were thick and ordinary. And you know, that's absolutely true. It totally is true. I mean, you read about Peter and you know, and how slow he was, you know. But the good news is the disciples were thick and ordinary, but that means there's hope for us too, you know? So why is that so important? The reason is because the sower sows the word. NIV translates it farmer. King James said sower. The sower sows the word. Now, let's apply this then. Hearing without listening. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown, and as soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that's sown in them. Some people, when they hear the word of God, they hear it and it's gone. Boom. There's others who listen but without hearing. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. That's because the word hasn't gone out from here down to here. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. They haven't heard it. They heard it, they listened to it, but they haven't heard it. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the deceit, the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Now, I'm going to venture to say this, is that if most of us in this room are any of those three first categories, we're probably in this last one. You wouldn't be here if you weren't hearing and listening, and for the most part, hearing spiritually, but there's an awful lot of other stuff that enters in. There's an awful lot of other worries of life. There's an awful lot of deceitful things, desires for other things. We want God and a whole bunch of other stuff. I I'm pausing here for a moment on purpose. We want God in a whole bunch of other stuff. And sometimes the other stuff can choke out the word. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times what is sown. This is the secret of a fruitful Christian life. It's receiving the word of God in good soil and allowing it to do its work. It's not work for us to do. It's work for the word of God to do. That's where life transformation comes. That's where life change comes from. That's where the image of Christ is built into your life. When you allow God's word to speak to you in such a way that it changes you. The secret of a fruitful Christian life is if we recognize the power of the seed. The seed is the word of God. Now, we're going to go back to Isaiah here again for just a moment. Here's an insight that I want you to understand. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 10 and 11 said, "As the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." God's word has been sent into the earth to raise the dead. God's word has been sent into your life to transform you. And so if we receive it as such, it will change us. It will change us. The question for most of us is, will we allow it to do that, or will we let it be choked out by the thorns? The return on the word, the extent to which it produces fruit, depends on the soil that it falls on. So the question is, what kind of soil are we? Are we the soil where the word is taken away by the birds? Or where it withers because it has no depth? Are we the soil that where the fruitfulness of the word is choked out by the thorns? The cares of this life? The desires of other things entering in? Or are we allowing God's word to be fully fruitful in us, producing 30 and 60 and 100 fold? Let me just say it to you this way. God's word is rich and glorious and powerful and life transforming. But it doesn't yield its secrets as easily as some might think. It does not yield its secrets to those who simply come to it out of idle curiosity. Or to those who are contentious, that are looking for something to argue about. Or to the self-satisfied, that feel like they've got their act together, that their Christian life is together, that they're doing the right thing, they're okay, they're better than the guy down the street. To the self-righteous, to the religious, to the casual hearer, oh yeah, Bible, God, yeah, that's good stuff, yeah, that's good, sure. To the one with a WIIFM attitude. What's in it for me? Call it Wi-Fi if you like, Wi-Fi FM. What's in it for me? If that's the attitude that we bring to God's word, it's going to be choked out by the thorns because it's all about me. So here's an action step. I always have to tip my cap to Dan by giving action steps, all right? Number one, action step number one. This is a quote from Jeremiah. I mentioned him a moment ago, Jeremiah 4:3. This is what the Lord says to the men of Judah and to Jerusalem, break up your unplowed ground. And do not sow among thorns. Now that's a challenge to the people of God. You need to break up the fallow ground. Fallow ground basically means ground that's been hardened through disuse or failure to use it. And so for many of us, our hearts, particularly, and I'm totally in this category, particularly those of us who have been Christians for any length of time, it's the easiest thing in the world to just go through the motions, doing what you always know to do. I'm a church guy. I go to church every Sunday and this, that, and the other thing. I do all the right stuff. but without my heart being softened. And so sometimes we need to turn over the soil. We need to take a plow to it. And sometimes that can occur when we go through times of challenge and times of difficulty, where we find ourselves having to cry out to God and crying out for his intervention in our situation, in our lives. Sometimes that's how the soil gets turned over and gets broken up so that we're in a position to hear. So turn over the hardened soil, remove the rocks and the tree stumps. There's some things that maybe you know that are keeping you from a closer walk with God. And I don't need to even venture into what they might be, but you know. What are you going to do about it? Dig out the thorns. Dig out the thorns. Determine that you will not allow the cares of this life to make God's word unfruitful in your life. Can you say amen to that? All right. Okay. But there's more to the story. I want to take this one step further because this may be an area that you hadn't really thought about. And that's this. Following this, Jesus goes on to say, with many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as much as they could understand. He didn't say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his disciples, he explained everything. So the parables were always spoken to the crowds. But then he would explain things to the disciples. So we always want to be in that group that he explains the stuff to, because otherwise we're lost. All right, but let's take it even a step further. I quoted to you Isaiah 55 a minute ago, but let me focus it to you. It says, as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. When God's word is fruitful in us, it's going to produce a crop. And that crop is for our benefit. That's bread for the eater. But it's also going to produce seed for the sower. You may not have thought of it this way, but God's word wants to produce a crop in you, not only so that your life is transformed, but that you can become a change agent in the lives of others. So that you become a sower of the word, the same way Jesus is a sower of the word into us. He's going to produce bread to the eater and seed for the sower. God's word is bread to the eater, seed to the sower, and you are supposed to be both. Not only does God want us to hear and listen and hear so we can become fruitful ourselves, but he wants us to become wise sowers of his word as well. You know and reach people that you may be the only influence of Christ in their entire life. And the ability to reach them rests on you. Now, if you are going to become a sower, then you must learn to recognize the soil, the same way Jesus talks about recognizing the soil. So the wise farmer recognizes the proper place for his seed. See, the wise farmer doesn't take a handful of seed and go out in the parking lot and just throw it down on the ground in the parking lot, because it's not going to come up in concrete. The wise farmer recognizes prepared soil when he sees it. So Jesus illustrates this very concept by speaking in parables to the crowds, leaving them perplexed. Why? Because they're not necessarily the right seed. The right soil. So Jesus explained the parables in private to his disciples because he knew the quality of their hearts. And even though they were thick and ordinary, that they were prepared to receive the word of God. If we hear and then listen and then hear, not only can we become nourished ourselves, but we can become wise to recognizing the situations so that when a situation arises in your life, in your workplace, in your family, when you're standing in line at the grocery store, that an opportunity comes up to share about Jesus, you will be prepared and you will have something to say. It's a secular New Age saying, and I'm always trying to stay away from those, but it's being said, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. It may be secular, it may be New Age, but it's in harmony with biblical truth. And that is that some people are ready to hear. And you may very well be sent into their lives at the time when they're ready. And so the question becomes, are you prepared to recognize that? Are you going to be sensitive enough to the Holy Spirit to be able to do that? God will send you to those whose hearts have been prepared to hear. And then it becomes incumbent on you to be able to sow his word, to say the right thing at the right time. Action step number two. The wise believer will become sensitive by the Holy Spirit to when the people are around him are ready to hear and ready to receive the gospel truth. Ask God, make it a point of prayer to help you learn to be sensitive to this, that you'll recognize when it's time to share. And then ask him for the boldness to speak up when it's your time. A lot of times people look at this and they just simply say, well, yeah, I don't know. I tried to share something and nothing happened. The point is you need to leave the results of your sowing to God. That's not up to you. Don't say 4 months more and then the harvest. I tell you, open your eyes, look at the field. They're ripe for harvest. Even now, the reaper draws his wages. Even now, he harvests the crop for eternal life so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. You may sow, someone else may reap. That's okay. Then the saying, one sows and another reaps, is true. I sent you to reap what you haven't worked for. Others have done the hard work. You've reaped the benefits of their labor. Well, the reverse can be true too. Sometimes you can share with someone and you don't see anything happen. They don't respond immediately at all. But the seed was sown. So leave the results to God. 1 Corinthians 3, 6 through 8, Paul addresses this concept where he says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it. But God made it grow. God made it grow. The word of God is what grows. You just plant it. That's your job. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. So here's the element of trust. We simply have to trust that, yes, indeed, for whatever reason, God has challenged us to become sowers of his word. And so I'm going to trust that calling, and it's my responsibility as a believer to do so. I'm just simply going to respond to that. Then I will trust the leading of the Holy Spirit to be sensitive with whom to share and when, at what time. And then trust the power of the word to accomplish its work, to accomplish its objective, to grow and to spring forth in their life the same way it grew and sprang forth in yours. It's the Spirit and the word that affect life change. You can't change people, but God can, and God will. Be patient, because the harvest will come. He also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. We're back in Mark 4, by the way, same concept here. A man scatters seed on the ground night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up. The seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. Isn't that cool? You just sow the seed, and then you go about your business. Don't even think about it again. Why is that? Because the word is at work. The word is at work. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel on the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. Oh, but I don't know what to say. Again, he said, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It's like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. The point is, how big a seed you plant is not what's critical. That's not what matters. The fact is that you planted it. Yet when planted, that smallest seed grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade. So yes, what you share with people matters. It's not about who you are. It's that you don't, oh, I'm no Bible scholar. My own life isn't really in order. Whose is? Thank you. All that matters is that you're walking with Jesus and you're hearing and listening and hearing his word and then sowing the seed when the occasion arises. The seed grows of itself. It's not the sower, it's the seed. He sleeps, he gets up. He doesn't know how it is the seed's working. All he did was plant it, but the seed grows. And after all this, who's Apollos, who's Paul, only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. So here's your third action step. Turn this into your prayer. 2 Corinthians 9. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. Make that your prayer. God, grant to me seed to sow. Grant to me bread for my own food and enlarge the harvest of my righteousness. To summarize, for you, incline your heart, your ear and your heart to God's word, and it will work wonders in your life. Then commit to being willing to sow that same word in the lives of others, and it will work wonders in their lives as well. Let's pray. Father, may your word, as spoken today and as received by your people, be in good ground. May it spring up in each of our lives to cause a rich and abundant harvest to the honor and glory of your name and the expansion of the kingdom of God, both in our lives and in the world around us. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you for multiplying the kingdom of God in our lives and through our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen.